Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. There is now no longer any law that prevents us from gathering together around word and sacrament. Not that there could ever be a human law that could trump God's desire, God's command, God's invitation for Christians to gather around His word and sacrament. Now, we gather together here to hear, obviously, but not just to hear. We gather together to receive the Lord's body and blood, but not just for that either. We gather together to encourage one another as Christians in this world where so few believe as we do anymore, but not just that either. As you know, one of the main purposes for us to gather together as Christians, as brothers and sisters in Christ, as children of God, as members of one body, we gather together to pray. Now, yes, you can pray all alone by yourself in a closet in your house. You can also eat all alone by yourself in a closet in your house if you want to. But when possible, when it's available, eating with other people, eating with your family is good too. So it also is good to pray as a family, and not just in a home, but as a family of believers here in our church. You know the familiar words from Matthew chapter 18, where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of them. Gathered in my name, we'll talk a little bit more about praying in Jesus' name, but gathered in His name, where He has called us together around the ministry of the Word, whether it's two people or three or 20 or however many. But the verse right before that verse, where Jesus promises to be present, is just as applicable to us this morning. It says, "Again I say to you that if two of you agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven." And so we've gathered together, more than two this morning, to ask our Father in heaven, to approach Him, God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and ask for His help based on today's gospel from John chapter 16. Now, as we look at the gospel, the first verse may seem strange to our ears. Jesus says, "In that day, you will not ask me anything." The confusion is that in English, we have two different uses for the word ask. We ask questions. If I don't know something, and you don't know that I don't know something, I have to ask you for the information that I need. Then you know what I don't know, and you can help me. You can explain to me what I don't understand. That's one way of using the word ask in English, but there's another way, to ask for something, to pray for something. And the word Jesus uses in this first verse is the word about asking questions. In other words, you will not ask me any questions anymore in that day. Now, in that day is after Jesus' resurrection from the dead, and even after His ascension into heaven to sit at the right hand of the Father. In that day, you will not ask me anything. Why? Because we'll understand everything now? Hardly. First, we won't ask Him questions because He won't be walking among us as He was walking among His disciples so that they could ask Him question after question when He lived in their midst. That's not how He intends to be with us going forward until the last day. But also, we won't have to ask Jesus questions, because as his disciples finally realized at the end of this gospel, you know all things. You have no need for anyone to ask you anything, his disciples said, and said rightly. Jesus doesn't need us to ask him questions, because before we even know the question to ask, he knows what we need to know. He knows what we need. So as we focus today on prayer, it's clear right from the beginning that we don't ask God for things because he doesn't know what we need, and we need to make our needs known to him. He already knows. He wants us to ask anyway. Truly, truly, I tell you, whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he will give you. There's the asking for word. Until now, you have not asked for anything in my name. Ask, and you will receive, that your joy may be full. We'll talk about asking in Jesus' name in a moment. First, we ask the question, why pray? Why ask for things at all? And there are three general answers to that question. We ask for things because of God's command, because of our great need, and because of God's promise to hear and help. The command is clear enough. Jesus says, ask. And by the way, it's a plural command in Greek and in Latin. English doesn't have singular and plural commands, but he's telling them all together, ask. It's the proper use of the second commandment. Rather than using God's name in vain or misusing his name, we call upon God's name in every trouble. Pray, praise, and give thanks, as we confess in the Catechism. Now, this is a friendly command, not a slave master commanding his slaves to ask him something. It's a friendly command from father to children. Ask me for my help, God says to his beloved children. Ask me to guide you and strengthen you and forgive you and provide for you. Ask me to help you fight against your sinful flesh and to resist the devil and the world and to avoid temptation. Ask me to help you bear up under affliction and oppression and unjust laws. Ask me for my name to be hallowed in your midst and for my kingdom to come to you also. The command to pray is there because God already knows the second reason why we should pray. He knows our great need. He wants us to recognize just how needy we really are and to look to him to help us in our need, whether it's food or clothing or family or friends or house or shelter, fellow Christians or fellow citizens, whether it's good health, safety, peace of mind. These are all important things, things we need, and things we don't really provide for ourselves. They come from God. Now, to some extent, God may use the gifts that he's given us, the talents, the opportunities to provide the things that we need or to fulfill other things that come up in our lives, but it's really God providing, not us. It's really God who allows a virus to spread or stops it from spreading. It's really God who, for his own reasons and for his own purposes, allows death to come into the world. And we know many of the reasons why death has come into the world. The main reason being sin and the curse that the whole world is always under until the world is destroyed and believers are taken to heaven. Now, to trust in God and to look to God as the one who really is in control of all those things, not we ourselves, to look to Him and to trust in Him, even when we don't understand why He allows certain things to come, obviously that's a matter of faith. And the world doesn't have faith. So the world either blames God or tries to erase Him entirely from the equation. But we who know the love of Christ, we do have faith in Him, that what He does is good and right. And so because of our great need, because we know that He is really the only one who can help us in our need, we ask, we pray. Finally, we pray because of God's promise to hear and help. "Call upon me in the day of trouble," He says. "I will deliver you, and you will glorify me." Or as Jesus said in the gospel, "Whatever you ask of the Father in my name, He will give you." Again, this is the very reason why we've continued to gather together to pray, even as the world gnashes its teeth at us for doing it. Because God has promised that when we ask Him for His mercy on our society, on our community, when we ask Him for wisdom and health and courage to be given to our secular authorities, He will give it. People may refuse His gracious help. They may not take it from Him, but He gives it nonetheless because His beloved people have asked Him for it in Jesus' name. Let's talk about that for a moment now. What does it mean to pray in Jesus' name? Well, first, Jesus tells us what it doesn't mean. It doesn't mean, He says, that I will ask the Father for you. Now, you can pray to Jesus, and He is our intercessor before God. But you shouldn't pray to Jesus as if you couldn't direct your prayers to the Father directly, as if you need Jesus to take your prayers to the Father for you because He's mean and scary and distant and doesn't care enough about a nobody like you. No, Jesus says, the Father Himself loves you because you have loved Me and have believed that I came forth from God. So to pray in Jesus' name means to ask the Father directly as one who loves and believes in Jesus. That is the basis of a Christian prayer, a prayer in Jesus' name, that you bring your requests before God the Father, not relying on anything you've done, but instead with the name of Jesus on your lips, as one who has been baptized into the name of Christ and made a dear child of God through faith in Christ. Hear me, Father, for the sake of Jesus, your dear Son, for His sake alone. Whether you say those words out loud every time or whether you simply believe those words in your heart, God knows. I recently saw a quote being passed around from a rather famous evangelical pastor and writer named Rick Warren. It said, "I don't believe Jesus came for Christians. I believe Jesus came for everybody." That's the message the world needs to hear. Do you see the problem with it? Maybe if I phrase it in a correct way, I believe that Jesus came for everybody so that all people might become Christians. You see, it's true, Jesus gave His life on the cross not so that He could save just this small group of people over here while He wanted to damn all the rest. No, He gave His life so that all people might believe in Him, might believe that He literally came from God in eternity according to His divine nature and in the womb of the Virgin according to His human nature, and might believe that He is our only Savior and our only refuge from eternal condemnation. those who don't believe, those who won't believe, don't have God for a father. And so any prayers they offer to their God are worthless. But where God the Father sees faith in Jesus, Jesus tells you, the Father loves you. He loves you because you have loved Jesus and believed in Him, that He came from God and that He has made satisfaction for your sins, that He is your Savior. He loves you in a special way, in a fatherly way. You have a direct father-son, father-daughter relationship with God the Father through faith in Jesus. And so with all boldness and confidence, let's ask Him as dear children ask their dear Father, knowing that He loves to hear our prayers because He loves us, because we love Jesus, because He, the Father, has drawn us to love and trust in Jesus by His Spirit through the Word. Jesus gave these final instructions to His apostles about prayer on their way to the Garden of Gethsemane on Maundy Thursday evening, just before Jesus Himself would go off by Himself at a distance and pray those three times, those three prayers to God the Father, or really one prayer prayed three times. O my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. The Father loved Jesus. There's no question about that. And He actually granted Jesus' request too. His request that the cup of suffering be taken away from Jesus, if it is possible, if it is your will. Now, it wasn't possible, according to the Father's will, to take that cup of suffering from Jesus, because your salvation couldn't have been accomplished without it. Remember that when you pray in Jesus' name, when you pray as Jesus prayed. If you always bring your petitions before God with the understanding that you are leaving it in His hands to do what's best, then you can be absolutely sure that you will receive exactly what you ask for. And now, there is the same Jesus sitting at the right hand of the Father, your Savior and your Redeemer. We'll celebrate His ascension this Thursday evening at 6:30 in our divine service, 40 days after Easter. For now, remember that you have both a Father in heaven who loves you and a brother in heaven who sits at the right hand of God to intercede for you and who rules over the world for your benefit, who has also sent His Holy Spirit here into the world to enable and to inspire your prayers. What more incentive could you possibly need to bring your prayers and requests before God? Amen. Please stand. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.